love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The fruit of the Spirit, is it in you? Sure was in that boy. Is it in you? That's the question. I know when we talk about joy, lemon fresh joy, I think about when I was a kid, that song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I remember playing baseball in the streets one day in California, and one day, it seems like that's all we ever did every day. And I remember being out on the streets and over to the right at the fence post on the sidewalk was first base. The manhole cover was second base. The fire hydrant was third base, and an old mitt was home plate. And I remember at night, it seemed like Tuesday or Wednesday night, this bus came down our street. And there were kids on this bus, and it picked up more kids. And on the side of the bus, it said, the Joy Bus. And that's where I learned that song. Because every week those kids came by, I've got the joy, joy, joy. And they were singing at the top of their lungs on this bus. And so my buddy and I, playing baseball with all the other kids, he was my best friend and all the kids in the neighborhood, but he and I would actually make fun of them. We've got the joy, 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 joy down in our hearts. And we'd hear these kids. One day, that bus stopped on our baseball diamond. And they invited us to go on the Joy Bus. I ran inside and I told my parents, the Joy Bus is here and they want to know if we can go. And they said, next week you can go on the Joy Bus. Not knowing anything about it. We were a very religious family, but we weren't a Christian family. We went to church at Christmas time and Easter time, and right up the street we went whenever it was convenient time. But I never knew what that Joy Bus was all about. We got on the Joy Bus, we went to church, and all I remember was everybody was happy. They were kind, and they seemed to be into church. They enjoyed it. And I remember I was just a young guy, probably 8 years old at the oldest, and I just remember having a very positive, warm sense when I went to that church and we learned and heard about Jesus, and they gave my sister a Bible. She'd gone along too, and we came home and we were telling our mom and dad all about it, and they said, you know what, you're never going back to that church. That must be some kind of freak kind of place, because nobody enjoys church like that. And we never went back on the Joy Bus. They never led us back to the Joy Bus. I don't know what kind of church it was. I couldn't tell you. All I know is, once in my life, I got on the Joy Bus. And I want to let you know today, I've been on that Joy Bus now for 26 years. And it hasn't stopped. It's interesting. Now, I'm not telling you, joy is an interesting thing. As a fruit of the Spirit, I love this. I tell you, we have such talented people in our church. This is just beautiful. Joy is a wonderful thing. Joy isn't the word happy. Joy is its own word. And I think it's important to understand, when Jesus talks about joy in the Bible, it's not happiness. I haven't been happy for 26 years as a Christian. I have been joyous, though. There's a difference between the two. And I want to talk about that. In other words, it's kind of like the twin boys. I've shared this before. These two boys, they were identical in looks and everything else except personality. One was an eternal optimist and one was an eternal pessimist. It didn't matter what happened. One kid always was happy, and no matter what happened, one kid was always sad. In fact, the parents took them to a doctor, to some psychologist, saying, I don't understand. These kids are twins. They've been raised exactly the same, but they are complete polar opposites. And so they did all these studies. And no matter what toy this kid got that was the pessimist, he complained. It could have been a brand new electronic RC car. He complained that it wasn't big enough. It didn't go fast enough. It didn't turn the right way. And the other kid, it didn't matter what he got. He just loved everything. And this went back and forth. Finally, they had this pessimist kid in this room with every toy you can imagine, and the kid just complained and complained, and nothing was ever right, and he was just miserable. And the doctor had put the other kid in a room full of manure, horse manure, just piled up. And they went down, well, let's see how this worked out. And they got down there, and here's this kid on this heap pile of manure, throwing it up in the air, just having a great party, going, yahoo! And they said, what's going on? He says, you can't fool me. I know where there's this much manure. There's a horse in here somewhere. And he was digging his way to happiness. I don't know what life's been giving you. But lemon fresh joy says this. You can have, isn't it interesting that a fruit can actually have a negative connotation? It's a lemon. Well, you got a car that's a lemon. That's not a good thing. Life gives you lemons. That's not a good thing. And yet, fruit is good for you. Isn't that interesting that life does that? And so I thought, let's have some lemon fresh joy this morning. Lemons are an amazing thing. And the Bible talks about it. In fact, your Bible tells us a couple things right here. Jesus is telling His disciples, and they go, hey, we get this, Jesus. We finally understand what You're telling us today. And the first thing that He's telling them is that joy is pleasurable. Joy is pleasurable. Now, not joy is pleasure, but joy is pleasurable. When you bite into a lemon, see, pleasure is we want to be happy. Pleasurable is I want to be joyous. I have the ability to enjoy life. Follow me on this. God wants to put a smile on our hearts, not necessarily on our face. That's the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness says everything in my life has to happen well, so I have happiness. That's where the word comes from. Happenings gives us happiness. Well, folks, you live in the world. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. You will not always be happy. Anybody in here ever been unhappy once? This morning, maybe? I don't know. Before you got to church? Last night? Yesterday? Sure, it happens. Wait till tax day. Not too much happiness, but you can have joy. In that, you may not have a smile on your face, but you can have a smile in your heart. And that's what God says. Joy, the first thing is joy is pleasurable, not pleasure. In fact, if you look in your Bible in verse 20 of chapter 16, Jesus very clearly says these words. When He says, in a little while you will see Me no more, then after a while you will see Me. In verse 20 He says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and the world will rejoice. You will weep and the world will rejoice. You know what? My face doesn't always... Lemons don't always make your face happy. In fact, if you bite into a lemon, what kind of face do you get? You don't get a big smile. You bite into a lemon. Oh! Oh, that's good stuff. You don't always get happiness. But I got to tell you, that tastes very good. Wow. I'm good. Life, Christianity, may not give you a happy face, but I guarantee you, it's good. You can have a smile in your heart and not necessarily on your face. And that's what Jesus said. He says, in a little while, you guys are going to be weeping. You're going to have this face on. But look out. The world's laughing. The world is partying. In fact, we live in a country. We live in a country that seeks one thing: pleasure, not joy. We live in a world that doesn't necessarily look. In fact, all of mankind looks for happiness and not joy. One author says this: here in the United States, one of our nation's foundational documents in Philadelphia says this. It's the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we as a country have really taken that word happiness to a really dangerous place. In fact, mankind has. This was penned in 1776. And since then, as Americans, we have been seriously and zealously pursuing happiness with greater vigor than perhaps all other people on the face of God's earth. And here's what this author says. Perhaps the pursuit of happiness has reached its peak in terms of the greatest numbers in history diligently chasing it. Americans, however, do not stand alone in this because the pursuit is an innate drive that's found in every man's very nature. It does not matter what race, when we lived, whether we're well-educated or ignorant, skilled, semi-skilled, unskilled, male, female, tall, short, healthy, diseased, wealthy, middle class, or poor. Everyone wants to be happy and seeks it in varying ways and intensity. Some cultures like Rome and Greece, during their declines, are notorious because their pleasure-seeking reached such levels that their festivities, sometimes lasting more than a week, were termed orgies. And as people, we need to be careful what we're seeking, because you'll never find peace in your heart without joy there. The fruit of a healthy tree will have joy, but bare branches will have happiness, and those branches will break because someone in the world will come and snap your life. Something will come along in finances or relationships, or something will happen in the economy. And if you are trusting happiness, it's a bare tree that bears no fruit. We should be seeking joy instead of happiness. Solomon, of all the people, the wisest man who ever lived, King David's son, said it this way in Ecclesiastes. Listen to these words. This almost sounds like a guy could be sitting down as a poet today, writing this down in 2009 in Michigan, in the United States. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasures, but surely this was in vanity. I said of laughter, it's madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay a hold of folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their life. I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of trees, fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of every single kind. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep them from them. I did not withhold from my heart any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all this labor. Here's what he says. This is my reward. I looked at all the work that my hands had done and the labor which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and the grasping for wind. There was no profit under the sun. And later on he writes this, therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For what has a man for all his work and for the striving of his heart with which he toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work grievous. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I did? Solomon, what great words for us today. All the stock markets, I had it all. All the singers and actors from Hollywood, I had it. You want cars and houses and yachts? In fact, in my backyard, I had pools. I had jacuzzis. And you know what I did when I laid down my head, he says? At night, I put my head down on my pillow and I couldn't sleep. Because in my heart, I had no joy. I had all the happiness life had to offer. And I withheld nothing in my life from happiness. But I had nothing. And I found out that night when I laid down my head on my pillow, I couldn't sleep. Joy. Lemon fresh joy. That's what God wants us to have in our lives. In fact, that's what the Scripture's telling us, is that that's what Solomon says. You know what God says? Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You ever do that? Have you ever just taken a bite into the fruit of joy in your life? Have you ever just kind of went, oh, I'd love to be able to put my head down at night and go, life is good, God. You are good. No matter what's happening, God. Just to go, I love lemons. You got to understand, this isn't hard for me. It makes my mouth cringe, my face. When I was a kid, I used to buy this stuff in the bottles where you could squirt it in your mouth. So this isn't bothering me. What bothers me is that people have the opportunity to have joy in their lives and they choose to pursue happiness. And God says, that leads nowhere. Solomon says, that leads nowhere. And God says, you pursue joy and you'll put your head down at night and you'll have peace in your life. You may not have a smile on your face, but you'll have a smile in your heart. Joy is pleasurable. What else is joy? Well, joy leaves an aftertaste. Joy definitely leaves an aftertaste. I'm drying out here a little bit because that's what lemons do. And it leaves an aftertaste. And Jesus said this to his disciples. Following on this, the word joy is Greek. It means chara. That's actually the word, chara. Chara is a beautiful word. Joy is this. If you've ever been somewhere and you've been so excited that something just exploded out of your life, that's chara. That is joy. It's inside you. I was at a mass. I watched a young man who's about 15 years old beat a kid who was a lot older than him last night and win. And this young guy at a wrestling match was so excited. He jumped up, and I mean just red face. He had his fist pumping in there. He's like, yeah! It's like he just bitten into a T-bone steak and just, rawr! I mean, he was Braveheart running off. I saw this guy because something happened in his life that just came right out of his heart, burst out in his face, and up into his arms, and the intensity of it. If you can understand that intensity, you've got the word chara now somewhere in a definition. Chara means to rejoice, to burst forth, to praise, to sing, to let your life loose because something inside of you just got bigger than you. And that's what chara means. And so when you look at this word, it's not just that joy is pleasurable, it's that joy leaves an aftertaste. Now watch this. It means that once you've eaten it, you go away and it's still lasting in your life. When's the last time you had something happen in your life that lasted more than the moment it happened? Well, for me, it was 26 years ago, and I remember the day very well when I came home and said, I'm going to go be a pastor. My father, who was a law enforcement gentleman, and I know many of you know this, but I said, Dad, I'm going to go into the ministry. I'm going to quit law pre-law school. I know I've got 3 weeks to go in the summer before my senior year to graduate. I quit. He looked right at me and he says, no, you don't. You just came back from a camp where you were a counselor and you had a, and he said these words, you had a spiritual high. It will go away. In other words, you're going back to law school when you get over this. See, now happiness, I might have done that. I might have had a happening moment at camp where I got a little excited for a moment, for a week. Kids, this happens all the time. You see this when you go to camp and people get excited about the Lord. They get excited about Jesus. Something changes. They pray at an altar. And then they come back and within 2 months, they're the same as they were before. Because they had a happening and they didn't have a joyous experience with Jesus. And when you get Jesus inside, the fruit's going to come out and it lasts. Jesus said, and if you look in your Bible, you need to see this, His words. He said, in that day you will ask in My name. I'm sorry, let's go up ahead of that. In verse 22, he says, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will what? You'll chara. He says, you're going to see me again, and you're going to jump out of your socks. He says, when you see me come back from the dead, you know what you're going to do? You are going to jump right out of your socks. Some of these guys were hiding in rooms behind doors going, is that the Romans? Is that the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders that killed him? Oh, who is that? Man, Jesus shows up and he says, you're going to see me and you're going to rejoice. You're going to come right out of your seat. You're going to be so excited, you're not even going to be able to stand it. You know what these guys did? They jumped right out of their seats. You bite into a little bit of joy, you get a little joy in your life, I'll tell you what, you're not going to just sit there, you're going to react. You bite into a little bit of joy in your life, you let God get inside of you, and you can't help but react. And Jesus said, Let's continue to look at this. He says, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And look at what it says. And no one will take away your joy. No, you know what? People can take away your happiness. You may lose your house, but they ain't touching my joy. They may take your finances. You may go bankrupt and lose your job, but they will not take away my joy. Someone can die in your life, very close to you, and that will take away your happiness. But it will not touch the joy that's in my heart. Because once I have joy in my heart, the Bible, Jesus said, no one will take that away from you. It will not happen. That's the difference between happiness and joy. There's a lot of Christians pursuing happiness. In fact, the word joy in the Webster's Dictionary is the definition of happiness. It is a horrible definition. It is not the same thing. Joy is something that happens inside of you regardless of what happens outside of you. And in my life, I want joy. I don't care. Well, I want happiness. but I want joy. When people say, I wish you happy, listen, wish me joy, because I'll wish you joy as well. I want joy in your life. Because joy will never be taken away. It can't be taken away. What did Paul say about this? The Apostle Paul said this, I consider it all joy. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say. You know when he said those words? He was in jail. He was waiting to die. And he writes this letter to a church. He said, guys, I want to tell you something. I'm about to die. I'm in jail. I didn't commit a crime, but they've got me locked up. They're probably going to behead me right from here to about here, taking away both jugulars. I want to get the picture because I don't think we understand when he was sitting in the jail what was going on. We said, well, he was going to die. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to happen in my life. And he says, I want to tell you guys something. In Philippians 4:4, he says, I want to tell you, church, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I want to tell you, rejoice. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and petition, with everything, offer your requests up to God. And the God of peace, who passes all understandings, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Those are Paul's words in Philippians. What did James say? James, he's known as Camel Knees. One book of the Bible, very short, right before Revelation. Good words. He's known as Camel Knees because he spent so much time praying that his knees were so callous and so thick, they nicknamed him Camel Knees. He was a man of God, and he's on his knees. And in James chapter 1, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Joy? Are you kidding me? And Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, consider him who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Wait a minute, you're telling me that Jesus had joy about a cross? He wasn't happy. Lord, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He wasn't happy about it, but he was joyous for the joy set before him. I'm about to do something that's going to make a difference in people's lives. You know what? He had a joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, joy is not just pleasurable, but joy leaves an aftertaste. It does. It lasts and it lasts and it lasts. Lemon fresh joy. I don't know what's happening in your life, but lemon fresh joy. Don't let anybody take away. In fact, you know why we can be joyous in bad situations? Because Paul wrote in Romans, all things work together, in Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good, for them that love the Lord. Everything in my life, you know what it comes down to? Some people say, you're being awfully optimistic, Pastor. How can you say that? Because it comes down to this. It comes down to a confident trust. Do you confidently trust that God is able to do anything in your life? Now, some of us are saying, well, I believe in Jesus. Then you need to understand that God raised a man out of a grave, out of a tomb, after he was dead for 3 days, out of a wrapped body bag. He raised a guy from the dead. So can God do anything? It comes down to a confident trust in your life. Do you really believe in the Messiah, or are you just playing church? Is this a religion to you that you say, I just want a happy religion? Or do you want a joyous faith that raises dead situations in your life? That's the difference. A confident faith. The reason I'm happy today, because today's a good day. I can't believe all you people showed up here. Honestly, I told my wife, I said, okay, we're doing a one service deal. I don't know who's going to come out on a day like today. Who really is committed to getting out of their bed on a snowy day instead of sitting in their pajamas with some hot cocoa and a nice warm throw blanket, sitting around just enjoying this winter day? And here you guys are. You shoveled snow, you scraped some windows, you started the car, you maybe put the kids in. You went through some effort to get here today. I can't believe you're here. That's why I want you to have joy. I didn't hardly sleep a wink last night. I was up all night last night. And I was so excited to get here today to think, I wonder who's going to show up. But because of joy in my life, it's unspeakable and full of glory. I wanted to come here because I know that there's an aftertaste. And for me, it's been 26 years. I've been getting out of bed on Sunday mornings and Monday mornings and Tuesday mornings. And I go and do things because there's been this joy that has left an aftertaste in my life. Because I found the tree of life And Wes, watching Wes up here with his bass guitar trying to get under this branch was amazing. Thought he was going to be part of this. I found the tree of life. I found the tree of life. And Jesus Christ changed me, and joy is growing out of my life because Christ was planted inside. Has Christ done that in you? Have you allowed Christ to be the aftertaste, the kara of your life? Is He the joy of your life? 1984, my father said, "Son, this will go away." My dad, by the way, I say that, and I know some of you have heard that before. I want to be very clear. My father is as proud of me as he's been of anything I think I would have ever done in my life. I want you to know that. He is very excited that I'm a pastor. He knows that I've got his grandkids 1,200 miles away and can only see him once a year. But he also understands that what I do, he's very proud of sharing Christ. And my mom and dad are in church today. They love the Lord. And they found that kara in their life. They have found that everlasting life. So I want you to know, sometimes I share those things. And if you ever met the man, I don't want you looking going, "So, you're the sergeant." We don't need any of that conflict in my house, okay? Let me close with this. Joy is one more thing. Joy is one more thing. Joy is a daily fruit. This is a daily fruit. You know what the doctor used to say? A lemon a day keeps the doctor away. Of course, it's an apple a day. Nobody says lemon. "Hey, did you get your lemon today?" You know, lemons are good for you. When I go to a restaurant, if you've ever been out with us, you'll know, and my wife too, that we'll order water with a lemon in it. If I don't have a lemon, I'll say, "Could you please go back and get some lemons?" And they'll look at me sometimes like, "Really?" I say, "Yeah, I want a lemon." Why do I do that? Because I know coming out of the taps of most restaurants is dirty water with different things. You just don't know what you're going to get. And so I put a lemon in there. The lemon is a neutralizer. It is. And it has anti-carcinogens in it. I like lemons because they are good for you. And it's a neutralizer for any disease or thing that might be in my water. And so I always throw a lemon in. I squeeze it. I mix it up. It's not lemonade. It's just lemon. Do you know that this is a daily fruit for your spiritual life? We ought to have joy because in our lives we have things that are trying to get in and infiltrate. It's called sin. And you know, when you put joy in your life, sin will kill your joy. The only thing that will kill your joy is if you live in sin. Your Bible tells it very clearly this way. King David, where's my paper? There it is. We read when we started his son's story. What a sad story. What a horrible thing for a father. Could you imagine being Solomon's father going, "My son is partying and spending the wealth of kingdoms, billions of dollars, and he's partying. He's having pleasures of everything you can imagine, and that's all he's doing. He's got himself 700 wives and 300 prostitutes, concubines. He has 1,000 women that live in his harem. He doesn't even know them all by name. He's got kids far and wide. He has really squandered the kingdom. How embarrassing for me, David, knowing that the people called me David, a man after God's own heart. God called me that. What's he saying about my son? Oh, God, would you just get a hold of my son's heart?" Interesting, David. Because David, Solomon's mother is Bathsheba, who was not your wife. But she was an affair that you had. A man after God's own heart? Are you kidding me? How could you be a man after God's heart when you fooled around on your wife and slept with a woman you saw on a rooftop and had her husband killed and then took her into your home? Are you kidding me, David? Do you think David had joy after God came to him with the prophet Nathan? The pastor shows up and says, "Oh, David, how you doing?" "I'm doing pretty good." And the pastor exposes David's sin. You know what David does? He has no joy. He has no joy in his life. And then David does what God tells us to do. When we come to the tree someday and we say, "I've sinned, God. I've messed up. I am not walking with joy. I have lost my joy." Here's what you do. The Bible is very clear. You repent and you confess your sin. Do you know what David did? He got down on his knees, and you go home and you read this. It is the most beautiful psalm in all of the 150 psalms. It is the most beautiful words that you can read. In Psalm 51, David gets on his knees and he says, God, against you and you alone have I sinned. And he goes on and he's talking about this. And then he says this to God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, but renew the joy of my salvation. David had no joy in his life. He had sinned. And God comes along and says, David, this is a daily fruit. You can pick this every day. You can have this in your life every day. Take a bite. Taste it. It is good. And David bites into it. And by the way, God didn't call David a man after God's own heart until after, near the end of his life. After adultery and murder. God can do anything in your life. You ask me, why do I have joy? There was a young Buddhist kid who grew up in a Chinese home, learned all about Buddhism. And when he got older, a missionary had gotten to him. And it's illegal, at the time it was very illegal, to present the gospel. And so this young man received Christ. Well, they found out about it when he was in his young 20s, early 20s, and he went to prison for it. They said, you are going to jail for your faith, because he was sharing his faith with others. And they put him in jail. And you know what he did in jail? He rejoiced. He caroled. And he rejoiced in his life. And he led prisoner after prisoner after prisoner to Jesus Christ. He led guard after guard after guard. The government came in and said, whoa, whoa, time out. We're going to ship this guy somewhere else. So they shipped him out as far as they could into the jungle, into a prison that they had for high security prisoners. And you know what he did? He led prisoner after prisoner to Christ about the joy in his life. And he said, we've never heard this message before. We've heard about Buddhism and we hear about all this other stuff. But we, in reincarnation, we've never heard about a Messiah that loves us, a God that would die for our sins. And he shared the story. And guard after guard and prisoner after prisoner got saved. And so what they did was, because they started having secret worship services in this prison, they had to go in and actually get rid of the prison, and they sent the prisoners to all these other prisoners. They didn't want them together because they were rejoicing so much in the Lord, in services. And nothing they did could stop them. Punishment? Lockdown? So they just took all the prisoners and they sent them to other prisons. You know what they did? Now they got missionaries in prisons all over China sharing Jesus. So they took this guy and said, you know what? We're going to do this prison thing's not working. We're going to do something to this guy. We're going to get him away from people. We're going to make him a street sweeper in a big city, on one block. And so they put him on one block of a city to sweep streets. And a bus stopped there every day to pick up people and drop people off. And you know what he did. He led person after person to Christ. And he tells his story very eloquently. This man had Kara, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It didn't matter if he was in prison. It didn't matter if he was a street sweeper. It mattered that he had Christ in his life. Because once you bite in, once you get joy in your life, folks, it's going to come out. It's going to just explode out of your life. You know what? And it may be a little sour, but it is so good inside. And I want you to know that life may be a little sour. But this morning I got up for one reason. I was up all night going, God, are we going to have this? Are we not going to have it? 3:00, I turned on my back porch and it's just snowing like crazy. I shut my lot off. I went upstairs. She goes, what are you doing now? I said, well, we're not having church. I don't think we're having church. It's snowing like crazy. She goes, just wait. Got up at 5, flipped on the light, called a couple board members. I don't know what we're going to do. Called Pastor Kevin. I don't think we're going to have service. I'm going to go ahead and type it. It's just horrible out. I don't want anybody to get hurt. And then called another board member. He says, I'll drive over there. He drove over. He came back. He says, I think we can do it. Let's do a second service. Call Pastor Kim. Call everybody back up. Let's have second service. I was so excited about coming here today and having joy. I said, Lord, I want to be able to present this joy. I wanted to get up this morning. My son said, Dad, just take a day off. Someone told me yesterday, Pastor, you just get a day off. I don't want a day off. I want to get together with you guys. I have six other days I can sleep in. What else does a pastor do? And I said, I want to get there. Why did I want to get here? Why do I have joy in my life? What's inside you? Our sermon series is what's in you? Is it in you? And I want you to know this morning, it's in me. This morning I got up and I have joy in me because a blood donor gave his life for me. That's why I wanted to get up this morning, because Jesus Christ died on a cross, gave himself for me, and 26 years ago I found joy unspeakable and full of glory because a blood donor saved my life. Why did I want to get up this morning? I wanted to tell you about my blood donor. And I hope he's in you. I hope you get him inside of your veins. Not just that dermatology theology we talked about last week, that skin deep stuff. I hope God gets inside of you. I hope he pulsates in you, because the results are going to be joy. And next week, another fruit. I hope you have it in you. I hope you can find it in you. If you haven't found it in you this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to have it in your life. Would you stand with me? I want to give you an opportunity right now. If you would, just pray with me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I just ask that you'd pray with me. Maybe there's someone in here this morning, you don't understand that joy. You're a happiness seeker, because that's what our world says. But the true definition of happiness is probably closer to joy than what we've made it. Joy is unspeakable and full of glory. Happiness depends on your circumstances. And I can't promise you circumstances, but I can tell you Jesus can promise you this. His last words were, I have told you all these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I'm going to ask you to take Jesus' advice right now with your eyes closed and your heads bowed. He says, take heart. I'm going to ask you right now to take heart. Would you take the heart of Jesus, and would you ask him to come into your heart and say, God, right now, I want to invite you into my life. I'd love to have you as my Savior. I would love to have peace and joy. And so, God, I want you inside of my life. I open the door and invite you in. And if you say those words and mean it, right now you can say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Come into my heart and be my Savior today. I believe that you did this, and I believe by inviting you in, you are now my Savior. Thank you, God, for joy that will begin to grow in my life. Amen.